Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Us an email at tnt@tntradioempire.com.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
All right, so a guy in Pennsylvania got two DUIs in one night.
Yep, on a tractor.
I would think, you know, when you get caught, like one time I got caught, my license plate was ran out. You know, it was back east in Pennsylvania. It was it ran out, and the guy gave me a car thing and said, "Well, you can't get pulled over again today for that."
Well, that's not the case with DUIs.
I was saying it should be.
So this was Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Okay. I'm familiar. Went to school there.
Driver identified as a 49-year-old man from Lancaster was first taken into custody on the evening of September 16th. The police said he tried to flee the scene of a crash in a 1974 International Harvester 4000 series.
What's that?
Those can't go
very fast.
That's a tractor.
That's a tractor. He was driving a tractor. According to the crash report, the International Harvester and a 2011 Toyota RAV4 were at a stop sign when the farm vehicle backed into the SUV and tried to leave the area. Driver of the RAV4 followed behind, honking, trying to get the tractor to stop, called the cops. Driver later admitted to the police that he had been drinking before getting behind the wheel of the tractor. He was arrested, processed, released, and then 17 minutes later, arrested again for, again, operating the tractor.
The same tractor.
Same tractor on a roadway, still drunk.
17 minutes.
17 minutes.
He was arrested. He bailed out that quick?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they arrested him. They processed him. They released him. From the time they released him.
How's he going to get home? He's probably thinking, how's he going to get home? I get the tractor out front, right? Okay.
From the time they released him to the time he got arrested the second time, 17 minutes.
Oh, man.
17 minutes taken.
That was a tractor, so it couldn't have been shaky because it was a motorized one, right? Yeah.
I guess you're supposed to call for a ride in that instance.
Yeah, probably.
It's like the guys that show up for the DUI hearings drunk. I love those. They drive down to the courthouse. It happened in Omaha a couple of times. A guy would show up at the courthouse for his DUI hearing, and he's buzzed at the DUI
don't
hearing.
Don't they generally?
Yeah, I don't think they look kindly on that.
You didn't do that, Nick, did you?
No, I did not.
Your dad.
Don't they impound your, dad for that, your the vehicle?
Hmm?
I would think.
It's been my experience.
Sheepishly.
Mm-hmm. I've never gotten a DUI, but I've had friends.
Only because you were lucky,
who
right?
have gotten a DUI, and they usually impound the vehicle. So what are they supposed to do? They let this guy out. His tractor's right there. Of course he's going to hop on the tractor.
How are we going to put
his
tractor? Impound a tractor? Right.
Well, the tractor might have still just been sitting by the side of the road where they arrested him, and maybe it took him the 17 minutes to get back to the tractor and go, "Well, I still got to get home.
I got to move the tractor." Yeah.
Can't leave a tractor here.
I'm impounding the tractor last night. Right?
Wow, sounds like they could make some money by impounding the tractor.
For all my DUIs, I don't think they ever impounded it.
Really?
Yeah.
My DUIs?
It's a story I'm coming up with. No, true story. No, when I was 18, though, they let my buddy drive my car. And didn't we tell it?
You got a DUI at 18?
It got thrown out. I was a designated driver, and I'm driving home. My buddies, they're all drunk, and she pulls me over, and I got arrested for DUI, even though I blew all zeros. She goes, "You must have been smoking marijuana." I'm like, "Ma'am, I haven't been smoking marijuana." Yeah. "Well, we'll take a test down there at the station, whatever." And she's like, "Which one of your friends do you feel comfortable with driving your car?" Oh my God!
You had to say nobody, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were the designated driver.
Yeah. I'm like, Joe. And so she's walking back to the car. He gets out of the passenger side and he's like, "Yeah!" Like, kind of like behind her.
He won the game.
And I'm going, "Oh my God, he's totaling my car." And so, yeah.
Oh, so she takes you with him?
She arrested me, put me in handcuffs, put me in the back.
So she lets the guy, the reason you're driving the other guys, they're drunk. She lets that guy take your car.
Yeah. At like 3 a.m.
So you don't want to give them up and say they were drunk because they were underage, right?
She takes the sober guy into custody.
Yeah.
Leaving a bunch of drunks in your car.
Yep. And then I got piss tested down there and downtown in Omaha there and pissed clean. And they're like, "Okay, you can go, but you have
But you smoked weed that night. You don't piss dirty that night anyway, right? You would have had to smoke weed a couple days before that, right?
No, I hadn't even smoked weed.
I know you hadn't, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you would have smoked it off, anything would have shown up in your system if it would have affected
it. So they still slapped you with a speeding ticket just to give you something on the way out the door?
To give me something. And we went. And I went to court for it, and she threw it out. Yeah, because she said, "What was the method you used for capturing the speed? Pacing. Do you have your certificate?" "No." "Why would you even bring this in here?" And I'm like,
"Really?
Oh, good. Okay, man."
Talk to the cop. And
You're sober. You must be high.
She said, "Yeah, because like when I'm out there, it's like 3 a.m, and it was like 50 degrees. And she's like, "Why are you shaking?" I'm like, "Because it's cold."
Cold, right.
She goes, "You want to be a smart aleck?" I'm like, "No, it's 50
it's
degrees.
Cold.
What are you doing?" Yeah.
Did you ever run into that cop again?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, my lawyer, she's like, "I'll only charge you $200 for that." No, she didn't have to say anything.
Thank you.
Yeah, $200 and you're 18.
Because she just had to sit there.
$1,000.
Yeah. Right, she didn't have to say a word in court.
Yeah, no, nothing.
Yeah,
and the judge ripped a cop in front of the whole court. I was like, "That's pretty sweet."
So they impounded the Focus. Man, surprised you got that back. You know,
but I wondered what the cop was thinking that had to like go through the car and opens up a suitcase full of "I'd rather be masturbating" license plate holders.
You could thank your dad for blowing that.
Yeah, what's the cost these days to get a car out of the impound lot?
It's like $150.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's pretty reasonable.
I'm surprised you didn't open up the suitcase full of license. "You want to be a comedian or something?" "Well, in fact, ma'am, I am."
It was lowering the rent numbers of the impound lot, having the Focus in there.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of the Focus, man. Our impound lot's nicer than that. Nick's got a podcast about food. What's it called, Nick?
Yeah, it's called Next Window, Please. There'll be a new episode out today.
Yeah, I thought of you this weekend, Nick. I was enjoying football stadium nachos.
Nice.
Oh, man.
The marching band contest on Saturday night.
Pretty good. Were they walking nachos?
No, they
tacos?
Had. Well, and at this particular event, they were marching nachos.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, good point.
Or excuse me, marching tacos. Okay. It was a marching taco, not a walking taco.
Well, that's
taco.
A flag team.
That's too bad. Yeah.
Boy, that's a high school joke, right?
Yeah. But it was just the old round yellow chips.
We're talking about chips now.
Were they fresh? A lot of times those can be stale.
Yeah, no, they were good. They were good, but they were just bathed in your canned cheese.
Yep. Glorious.
And there was a version you could get them with meat or without.
Was this a football game or was this a competition?
No, this was a marching band competition on Saturday night. All state competition. But we decided against the meat.
That's a good idea.
Because it seemed like, you know, that's a decision that can get kind of sketchy.
Concession stand meat can be, it's usually first of all, it's always somebody who makes it
cheese,
and brings
though,
it in.
I think they're kind of like branching out a little further than they should.
And I was also, it wasn't your traditional, cheese in the cup with the chips next to it. It was
they
just
slathered it.
They just bathed it.
Oh,
in there.
That's good.
Did you get the little jalapenos with it?
There were no jalapenos.
You need jalapenos.
You gotta have that instead of the meat.
Yeah,
you licking your fingers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. It got messy.
Of course
but it was glorious, man. There was a low rent awesomeness to those yellow round chips.
Yep.
And canned cheese all over it.
Yeah,
totally.
I'm with you on that one. I'm, yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
John Stamos has a new book out called If You Would Have Told Me. Stamos is now 60 years old, by the way. So back in the 80s, yeah, so look at him. He was dating a model named Terry Copley. And here's quickly what happened. He was dating her. He was on tour somewhere. This is his version of it. He was on tour with his band. He comes back, and he can't find her because they're having. She's being really cold to him on the phone, I guess. So he heads over to her house, and then he goes to the guest house because she apparently had pretty successful at the time. I don't recognize her, though. And she looks in there, and she sees 4 feet in the bed, and all he also sees is abs. Now, he ran back there because he saw a different car in the parking lot. I forgot about that part. So he just saw abs on the dude. And his first thought was, I'm going to go kick somebody's ass. And he's also heartbroken at this time, crying, not knowing what's going on. But then he sees the abs and thinks, no, I might get my ass kicked. So he did the exact opposite. He left. But on the way past, he looked inside the car, and there was a poster of Terry Copley in there. And there were, by the way, there were boxing gloves in the car, too, for that matter. Dan was a known boxer. And on the poster, he saw, I love you, Tony, forever. And then he realized it was Tony Danza.
Man.
Wow.
So she denies it to this day, apparently saying they were already broke up. But that's a situation, you know, how people always think somebody's broke up and they're not.
So she's not denying she banged Tony Danza.
No.
She's just denying the timeline of when it happened.
There's also a picture here where she's with Tony Danza. Like, they start hanging out, you know. Now, Tony Danza, they're both good-looking dudes, by the way. Tony Danza's now 72, but he was a younger guy at the time.
They were both kind of kings of the 80s. There for
yeah, they were. Well, what happened was, apparently, I don't know if he ever faced Tony Danza. Tony Danza's going to get asked this question 1,000 times a day, I'm sure. But apparently, the first 2 years of Full House, the ratings weren't that good until they moved it after Who's the Boss.
Oh.
And Who's the Boss audience stayed, shot it through. So Stamos thinks that he might not be as successful now unless it was because of Tony Danza.
Yeah. It's all about
good
the lead-in.
Yeah. Right.
Tony Danza stealing your girl.
Well, Tony Danza was a stud, man. Yeah. Look back there. He's still a good-looking dude.
He's
72,
boss.
Man. Yeah, he's the
buddy. Still can't believe him and Angela never got together.
Oh, did they ever suck face in that show at all?
I don't think they did. No, I don't. I was never a regular watcher of
either was
Who's
I.
the Boss,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I thought that was – they always maintained that tension between Tony and Angela.
Yeah.
What was that even about? Wasn't he like a
handyman
or something?
He was a Manny. Oh. He was the Manny, yeah, basically. What they call Mannies now. Right. Okay.
Who's the Boss?
Yeah, this Terry Copley's good looking. I kind of remember what she looked like. This is an 80s look here. I'm seeing recent photos. She's also 62 now.
Yeah, well, if you can pull Stamos and Tony Danza.
Right.
You're probably, you might be hot.
You might be hot, exactly. Speaking of hot.
I mean, it's a song and
the
lead in,
by the way, is the reason all the people who work the middle of the day on all of our radio stations.
Oh, yeah, do well.
Do right. so well.
Right.
Why are you looking at me, Todd?
You got a good lead in because you're the midday guy on one of our stations.
Midday Maven, by the way.
Yeah.
That's what we call them.
Even helps,
you know,
the Brothers in Rock.
That half vagina thing. So,
no, it's a full.
Good point.
I don't know how functioning it is.
It's a mess. Like Nick says, it's a mess.
We really haven't talked that out. Really haven't figured out that backstory. Been working on it for years. You think we'd come up with a better backstory with some more details.
Yeah, we're all about follow through around here.
Exactly. Yeah. He's just hermaphrodite, and we leave it at that. It'd be rude to discuss it more, don't you think?
That would be rude.
We ever write a book, we'll talk more about it in detail.
Well, none of us are like, you know, medical professionals.
That could be a paragraph, excuse me, a chapter in our biography, Todd. Push's vagina.
Well, there should be
a real truth.
What's
real
really
truth.
Going on down there?
There should be a chapter for each set of genitalia.
Sounds like a whole book on its own.
Oh, well, when we were discussing, what were we discussing again Friday? I have to ask because I don't remember.
It's a whole weekend, man.
This is the toughest question you could ask.
I drank some booze this weekend.
There was a young lady that found out that she was in her dad our mom.
By the way, we'll take
we're in a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you got a, if you got a cheating story and how you got snagged or how you got caught or if you caught somebody, we'll take those. Because that's one. That's why I want to lead into that.
Yeah,
with
especially
that,
if it was Tony Danza.
Yeah. Well, we're going to broaden
John Stamos.
I know we look for the tough call, but I want to call about something. You know.
Yeah. All right. Did Tony Danza rail your fiance?
No, we got
or
this.
Did
from
anybody
a,
rail your fiance?
A listener came in Friday morning, late in the show. I was listening to your conversation about the girl who found out her dad is polyamorous.
Okay, yeah,
I have some insight as a polyamorous dad too. Contrary to popular belief, polyamory isn't just about sex. Most people in polyamorous relationships have meaningful, committed partnerships that extend into family life. In my case, both of my children interact with my girlfriends as they would stepmoms. I can honestly understand this guy not wanting to hide it from his daughter at an age where she should be able to handle it. How
old was
the woman?
Two girlfriends and a wife, or just two girlfriends?
That sounds like a girlfriend and a wife.
I thought it was two girlfriends and maybe an ex-wife.
Oh, okay.
Since the, you know. Yeah. They were interacting like stepmoms.
As for explaining polyamory to young children, I approach it as I would sexuality or gender identity.
You tell them you get tired of banging the same person all the time?
We've been taught that monogamy is the only option.
Time is it?
Healthy and happy relationships, but that's not true. I think our kids deserve to know and be exposed to alternatives early to help normalize societal view. Hope this helps shed some light
with that.
On
I'm
the polyamorous that, perspective.
All valid arguments.
Yeah.
But would Jesus
all valid
that,
arguments. You know? Yeah, the girl in the story we talked about was already in college. And it was all, it was, if I remember correctly, she said it was her dad's third marriage after her mom. So she was kind of used to dad moving on.
Getting around. Yeah.
Does a guy in that situation have downtime?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of times like, do we have anything planned? Do we have anything going on? If you have a wife and a girlfriend, two girlfriends, are you just are you at the pumpkin patch all the time?
Certain times of the year.
How about
never?
How about you never go? Once your kids reach a certain age, you don't go back to the pumpkin patch.
Oh, we've
got
to go to, you know, my mom's doing this. We need to run an errand. Or the it just seems like it would be a nightmare.
It sounds horrible, Nick. Exactly. Because the strange pie is going to get old, too, for that matter.
Right.
And the bottom line is you still got to go visit other two people's families.
It's two other birthdays, two other anniversaries.
Yeah. I know, Nick. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of juggling. Yeah.
Don't you remember we talked about? Like, no.
No.
I don't.
We don't remember one person telling us we talked about stuff, you know, let alone two people. That's my cousin's party. We got to go to that. No, we don't. Oh, no. But,
when you say
God, you think the guy used that against the other? Well, no, I think I got something to do with the other girl.
Oh, I bet they talk.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You got to think the two women are talking to each other, and then
plotting out every second of your day.
Polyamorous relationships as being a dude with two women is the other way
or
around.
With two dudes.
I think the other way happens too.
The other one does exist. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, the two dudes or the two women would have to get along.
Yeah, unless that should have been a sitcom. My two dudes with John Stamos and Tony Danza.
My two dudes. They should have nowadays. They would
right
have
after my two dads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but usually when you see the polyamory when it's two guys and one chick, it's two top knot guys. Seems they're real earthy dudes that probably are doing each other.
I think you would have to get along unless you have the big love situation where it's separate houses and connected backyards and you have your own space. Then you could probably get away with not being real friendly to the other one.
And Bill Paxton was drained, remember? One episode was about him just banging chicks every...
Yeah.
He was just tired because he had a different chick to bang
Wasn't it two nights a week each for each wife and then one night to recover?
He was drained. Yeah, he talked about it on that show.
Like, just one night, leave me the hell alone. I'm just tired.
But in a polyamorous situation, with the two women or the two dudes, whatever, are they necessarily having sex?
Is
everybody
question.
Having sex? Or is it like the sister wife situation where you just bounce from house to house?
I bet you it's
because the wives aren't begging each other in big love.
I'm sure there's no real playbook to this.
No, I'm sure it's whatever y'all are into.
Case by case.
Yeah.
No, in big love, they weren't lesbians because of the Mormon church just allows the guy to have all the fun. Come on.
You know, right.
That's how that works. Right.
And it was still, all one-on-one sex.
But that
it was
still,
it was all one-on-one sex in big love. But this polyamory is not big love. This is
no.
That's still where we get all of our knowledge for all of this stuff is from Big Love. I mean, 90% of everything we know about it comes from that show.
I wish I could have seen that show for the first time. If you've never seen Big Love.
Oh, yeah.
Who hosts that now?
It's on Max. That was an HBO show. Yeah,
go back and watch.
Go grab it. Yeah, if you haven't watched that, that's a great binge. Start that tonight.
Talking like dudes talk. Dude, bro. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.